Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask John Call-In Day. This is an open question and answer session where you can call in and speak to me directly or simply listen live on the audio player on the webpage. If you've called in and have questions, press 1 to raise your hand. If you're listening on the audio player on the webpage, you'll see a box where you can type in questions. Feel free to enter your questions there as well. These sessions are all about you, and this is your opportunity to call in and speak to me live, and let me work with you to help you solve your weight loss problems forever. So if you've got something you want to talk about, please give us a call. Okay, welcome everyone. So this is the second class this week. This is week 1 of the new you in the new year. We're going to have 2 live classes, as I mentioned, each week. Earlier in the week, we have a core lesson. That happens Thursday morning if you're in Australia, New Zealand, Monday night if you're in the States. And then we have each week, we have a question and answer live session that happens. Friday morning if you're in Australia, New Zealand, Thursday night if you're in the States. And it's the same time each week. We have 2 classes each week. The first class is always a core lesson where we talk about some things that we want to focus on for the week, and then the action steps that we want to focus on, which is the most important part of the course. The action steps help create the habits that we want to create to address the issues that we talk about in any given week. And then on this class, we talk about it. So any questions that you have related to the action steps, how they apply to you, to the core lesson, or to really any aspect of the Gabriel Method, we're here. I'm really happy to talk with you. You can also chat in, and Tiffany and Nadia are there. They can help answer your questions on the chat roll too. And these classes, the second class is live question and answer session. It can be real quick. We'll go as long as you want. If you have questions, if you want to talk, I'm here to talk. Otherwise, it's just going to be a quick class. We'll talk about a couple of things. So if you want to talk to me, call in and press 1. So there's a number there on the screen. Call that number. Press 1. When you press 1, Tiffany will be there, and she'll screen the call. She'll send me a message. She'll say that you want to talk, and you and I can start talking. And it is an opportunity. One of the biggest assets of the Gabriel Method, New You in the New Year, is the live component. You and I get to work together every single week. We could talk every week if you want. Then we have a live one-on-one follow-up afterwards. And it's all geared toward creating positive habits that will help last a lifetime to address the issues, the real issues that cause you to gain weight. Also, in the new, I don't know if you saw in the New You in the New Year Facebook group, there was a nice post from Nicola, who's lost 95 pounds. Congratulations, Nicola. That's awesome, awesome, awesome achievement. And she had some great advice. She said the 2 most important things that she did were, number 1, listening to the visualizations every day, and I couldn't agree more. And the other is remembering that it's not a diet. It's an approach geared toward addressing the real issues. And that worked for her. She addressed the real issues, and she has lost 95 pounds without dieting, without approaching it as a diet. She said to listen very closely when I talk about adding the big 3, when I talk about adding nutrients, adding food, omega-3s. Nothing is more important than omega-3s and healthy proteins. Adding, adding, adding. If you add those things, your body will be functioning better on a hormonal level, and you won't be as hungry. You won't be nutritionally starved, and the weight will come off much, much easier. And I could not agree more. And Nicola's living proof. If you listen to the visualizations and focus on adding, adding, adding nutrients, that is 80% of it right there. Cool. So I know we have some questions also over the last week or so that people have asked, and I'll bring Nadia in right now, and we can talk about that. And then if you want to chime in and you have a question, just call in and let me know. Let's bring Nadia in if we can.
Hi, John.
Nadia, are you there? Hey, Nadia, how you doing?
Hi, I'm really good, thanks. The chat roll is getting busy already.
Okay, awesome. And I just want to check if I'm coming in loud and clear. This is I have three different Wi-Fis that I can choose from. Last time we did a live Q&A session, and this Wi-Fi wasn't working so good, but it usually works real well. So how's it coming in now?
So far, you're loud and clear. I can hear you really well.
Loud and clear. Awesome. Let's get started. What's happening?
Okay, great. So Sandy is listening to the call right now, and she just typed into the chat role. She wants to know what is the difference between digestive enzymes and probiotics.
Sure. Great question. Hi, Sandy. Thanks for chatting in. That's a really good question. So they are very different, but they're similar in that they both address digestion. So if you look at the way we digest food, and by the way, our next class next week is going to be focused on digestion. It's a really important class. And digestion, it turns out, I just want to give a kind of an overview. It turns out that digestion is one of the most important aspects of weight loss, and research is coming out all the time that if your digestion is not working right, it usually leads to weight gain for several reasons. And I can talk about them with respect to digestive enzymes and probiotics. So probiotics are live bacteria that work in a symbiotic relationship with our bodies to digest food. They live in our intestines, and they help break down sugars and other macronutrients to get to be smaller particles so that they can pass through our intestines. Now, we all have bacteria, and they are essential for digestion. The thing is, hold on one second. Nadia, are you saying there's a problem with people connecting?
There's a couple of people that are having trouble connecting. So I've just, if you are having trouble connecting, you might want to try refreshing your page. That seems to work for most people. And okay. Otherwise, Amir will hop onto the chat role, and he'll try and help you further.
Okay, great. Cool. Thanks for that. So probiotics are live living bacteria that help that live in our intestines and help our body digest food. And there's been a lot of research over the last couple of years to show that if you don't have the right bacteria in your intestines, if you have the wrong bacteria in your intestines, it will cause you to gain weight. And they found that typically people that are overweight have the wrong type of bacteria in their intestines. They have unfriendly bacteria, not friendly bacteria. And they did an amazing study, and I'll mention this next week, and I don't know if we talked about it in the last class, but it's worth mentioning again, where they took two identical twins. One was fat and one was thin, but they were identical adult males. And they took the bacteria, that's the bacteria in the intestines of the overweight male, and they put that bacteria in the intestines of mice, and those mice gained weight. They didn't change their diet. They didn't change anything, but the mice still gained weight. They took the bacteria from the thin twin, and they put it in other mice, and those mice did not gain weight. Then they took the bacteria from the thin twin, and they put it into the mice that had gained weight, and those mice lost weight. Again, they didn't change anything about their eating, their food, nothing. And it's simply a question of what type of bacteria is living in your intestines. And probiotics are friendly bacteria. They're living organisms. They're friendly bacteria that live in your intestines. And the probiotics that you take as a supplement help increase the number of friendly bacteria that are in your intestines so that you can lose weight much easier, digest your food much easier, reduce stress, reduce inflammation, reduce leaky gut, all these different things. So that's what probiotics are. Digestive enzymes are not living, they're not bacteria, they're not living beings. They are proteins that act as a catalyst that help digest food. So they are proteins that break your food apart. There's lots of different digestive enzymes, but the main ones are protease, amylase, and lipase. Anything that has an ACE is usually an enzyme. Protease helps digest proteins, lipase helps digest fat, and amylase helps digest sugars. And most of us do not produce enough digestive enzymes because we're in a chronic stress state. And when you're in a chronic stress state, you're not producing healthy, you know, all the different things that you need, the reparative hormones and the digestive enzymes. You're not producing them as much because your body's in more of an emergency state. So we're typically deficient in digestive enzymes, and that also causes digestive problems. And when you combine the two of being deficient in digestive enzymes and having unfriendly bacteria, you get a real digestive problem in your body. And that's why the two of them can work so well. Now, you want to take digestive enzymes with meals, because they only work with meals, because it's when the food's in your stomach, that's when you want the digestive enzymes in there. The probiotics you can take on an empty stomach, and sometimes it's good to take on an empty stomach to help get the bacteria into your intestines. But you can also take them with food too, but you don't have to. But digestive enzymes are only effective when you take them with food. Cool.
Great. So, John, there are lots of backup questions about everything you're talking about here.
Okay. Let's go for it.
So, sure. So, Kylie is wondering, do digestive enzymes affect your body from producing these enzymes in the future?
Some people say that if you take them for long periods of time, your body becomes dependent on that, and that you shouldn't take them for long periods of time for that reason. I haven't seen anything conclusive on that in terms of research, and I think that there's so many reasons why we're deficient on digestive enzymes that taking digestive enzymes as a supplement on balance in the long term is actually much better for you than does more good than harm. I think that if you don't take digestive enzymes, you're going to be deficient in digestive enzymes, and if you do, you're not. And it's kind of that simple. The main reasons why our bodies don't produce digestive enzymes isn't so much because we're taking digestive enzymes. It's more because we're in a chronic stress state. If you can get out of a chronic stress state and you're eating a lot of live foods and you're repairing your digestion and detoxifying and things like that, then no, you don't need digestive enzymes, because there's a lot of digestive enzymes in live foods. But most of us don't eat live foods, and we're in a chronic stress state and a chronic state of inflammation. So we're just not going to be producing those digestive enzymes. And if we are, our immune system's going to be using them, because our immune system's chronically overworked because we're in an inflammatory state. And our immune system fights for those, needs those digestive enzymes too. So if you can, the answer really is, if you can get to a healthy state where your digestion is healed, which is a big issue for a lot of people, and you are eating lots of live foods, then that's the time that you want to go off of digestive enzymes. But until then, they can be really useful.
Okay, great. And then Julie is wondering, do we take two of each a day?
It doesn't matter so much the quantity. With digestive enzymes, I would take one with meals when you're home. You don't want to kind of carry pills with you wherever you go, so you don't want to get into that kind of mentality. But when you're home, take one with meals. Probiotics, if you can take one a day, that's great, maybe two. That's fine. There's no hard and fast rule with that. You can't overdo probiotics because they're meant to replenish the bacteria in your intestines. And what happens is that a lot of times you take the probiotics, and by the time you even take it, most of the bacteria might be dead already anyway. These are living organisms that have to survive. So heat, air, time, all those things kill friendly bacteria. So they might be dead already. Then once you take them, the stomach acid in your stomach can destroy them. So the chances that you're getting an overload of friendly bacteria are very, very small. So you can't overdo probiotics. Digestive enzymes, I would just take one with meals when they're around.
Great. And then Sandy is wondering, are there foods that contain or promote the production of digestive enzymes and probiotics? And she's also wondering, John and Nadia, do you still take digestive enzymes and probiotics?
Yeah, these are great questions. And yes, I still take digestive enzymes and probiotics. I tend to run out of digestive enzymes, so I do kind of do it in fits and starts, and then I might not reorder them for another couple of months. But whenever I have them, I take them with meals, and whenever I have probiotics, I absolutely take them. So the foods that have digestive enzymes are live, organic live produce, fruits and vegetables, salads, sprouts, all the greens, live greens that you would put in a salad, and most fruits, especially tropical fruits, very, very high in digestive enzymes. The foods that contain probiotics are cultured and fermented foods. all the foods the way we used to we preserve foods 100 years ago before we had electric refrigeration systems, they all contain high quantities of probiotics. So sauerkrauts and kimchis and pickles, but not, you know, that are not pasteurized, that are done the right way, or any type of fermented veggies, nutritional yeast, tempeh, these are fermented foods, miso, although miso gets heated and so it gets destroyed, but all types of any cured, naturally cured meats that don't have a lot of different chemicals in them, they're just naturally cured. Anything that's fermented, yogurts, kefirs, coconut kefir, nut milks, cashew cheese, also live cheeses. Live cheeses are great, by the way. When I mean live, I mean raw cheese, like cheese that's from unpasteurized milk. When you pasteurize the milk, you kill the friendly bacteria. So raw milk and raw milk cheese. Great sources. You can get the difference between pasteurized cheese and raw cheese from a health perspective, in my opinion, is night and day. Raw cheese, whenever I can get it, I get it, and I eat it as a health food because it's loaded with friendly bacteria. And pasteurized cheese is not, and it's also inflammatory because the pasteurization process molecularly changes the cheese or the milk. And then it becomes inflammatory to the system. These are all things we're going to talk a lot about next week. So it's a kind of a good segue. These questions are really great questions. Let's take one more, and then we got a couple of callers,
okay.
Christian and Rosie, that we'll take.
Okay, sure. So there's actually two more probiotic questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Rebecca,
these are great, really great questions.
Yeah, they are. Rebecca is wondering, how can I know what type of bacteria I have in my gut? I have been taking probiotics for years.
Yeah, so there are companies that really go in there and they take it. You know, you have to give them a stool sample and they tell you exactly what's going on with you and what you need. In the Sunshine Coast of Australia, there's a lady named Kirsty. I forget her last name, but it's Cultured Wellness. If you go to culturedwellness.com, she's one of the best. And they actually, if you really want to know, they will do an analysis. They will tell you exactly what's going on and then customize what you need. And that's a great, great way to go.
Great. And then
just
one last question about probiotics.
Yeah.
Sandy, who asked the original question, she says, I live in French Guiana in a small town. If I go to the pharmacy to ask for probiotics or digestive enzymes, what do I ask for? I mean, what should be the ingredients as specific as possible in each of those?
Things like lactobacillus, anything that says lactobacillus, acidophilus, and all the different, there's a whole bunch of lactobacillus type of bacteria and bifidum. Different lactobacillus bacteria and bifidum bacteria. That's all that's going to be in there, is those things. But I would opt, if you could, for having more naturally cultured foods. If you're living in a place like that, there's a lot of traditional foods there. And if you can get traditionally cultured veggies and meats, there's a good chance that you're going to get some good bacteria that way.
Yeah, great. And she actually just wrote in and said that in France, they love raw milk cheese. So that's what
exactly.
About.
Yeah, I would go for the raw milk cheese for sure. I wish I could have... There's nothing really out where I'm at. When I was in Australia, there was one person in the Sunshine Coast who just made amazing raw cheese. And then also in the States at Whole Foods, they do have a raw cheese. Only one brand, and it's great. Expensive, but it's really, really worth it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I agree.
Yeah. So we're going to talk all about this next week in our class. It's going to be about digestion, and it is super, super important. Getting your digestion right. It's one of the things. I mentioned my brother last week, who's lost over 200 pounds down. He just keeps getting fitter and fitter. It just keeps dropping weight. But one of the biggest things for him was healing his digestion. That was huge for him, and for me too. As a matter of fact, I think we've all had digestive issues in my family growing up, because we were one of the first families to live in an area with fluoridated water. And that was kind of a big thing. My father was a dentist, and he actually sought out areas that had fluoride in the water. And fluoride's a hugely controversial issue, and as a chemical, it is a neurotoxin, and it is and it does kill friendly bacteria. And we all had weight issues, and I'm fairly certain that that's one of the reasons was our digestion got impaired from that.
Right.
Anyway, cool. So
amazing.
Let's go on and take a couple of callers. Let's talk to Kristen in Montana, please. Kristen?
Hi there. Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm excited to ask this. So I'm shifting gears away from digestion, but I'm kind of the signature story. I'm tired of yo-yo dieting, but weight for me consumes my thoughts. And when I saw your advertisement for this class, you said if you're to the point where you're just sick and tired of everything else and you're serious about moving forward, then this will be for you.
Yeah.
And so I've heard you talk about how we need to deal with our stresses, and I'm not 100% sure like what mine really are. I mean, sure, I have some, life has issues and whatnot, but I don't have any like major traumas or big things like that that make me think that those are my issues. But my question then becomes, listening to the visualizations, is that enough? Is that what will settle this weight issue for my mind?
Is that how I make that
right, or do I need to deal directly?
Everyone's different, and that's the thing. When you're dealing with when you're dealing with addressing the real issues, it becomes first an issue of identifying what those issues are, and then the right application. For some people, visualizations, that's just it, and it just works. Might take time, could take weeks, even months, but then it just kicks in and works. Other people need to address some serious issues. So everyone is different in that regard. But let me ask you a couple of questions and see if I can get a better handle on what's happening for you, if I can.
Yeah.
So how old are you?
45.
Okay. And how much weight are you looking to lose?
30 pounds. So not a ton.
Okay. How long have
but
you
enough,
had that the extra
range.
Weight on you? Yeah. How long have you had the weight?
The last time I was at my goal weight was 7 years ago.
And how long have you had a weight issue? Like, when did it first start?
I've yo-yoed my whole life. So I've been at this weight before. Probably after college is where it started adding up, and then I lost it all, and then it added up again, and then I lost it all, and
it added
up again. And
right. So after college, let me just get – so after college, what did you do after college? Start working, or what happened?
Yeah, exactly. I got married. We moved across the state. I was working.
I had kids eventually.
That caused
– all right.
That was a big one.
Got married, moved, and got a job, right? All at once kind of thing?
Yep.
Because all three of those are triggers. Moving is a big one for people. It was for me, and it's like one of the biggest ones for people. It's not one you can really explain or put your finger on, but moving is a trigger for a lot of people. So I want to talk about each one of these because these are all – and try to see the effect that it had on you. Where did you move from where to where? Like what –
I moved from one side of Washington, from Seattle, to the other side of Washington, Spokane. And I laugh that you say movie's a trigger, because then we moved from Spokane to Los Angeles, and then we moved from Los Angeles to Montana. We've done a lot of moving.
Did you find that your weight fluctuated from place to place?
Probably, yeah. And then after I was there for a time, I could get it back down, yeah. However, we've been here now the longest.
Yeah, is it a place that you like? Are you comfortable here? Do you have friends and connections?
Yeah,
and family?
I do like it. Yeah, I do like it.
Okay. And in terms of your marriage, your relationship, when you first got together, was it a difficult transition, or was it stressful?
If you're looking for the root cause of my weight, I don't think, honestly, my
exactly
guru's paused my weight. The only thing I can think of is I am emulating my mother. How is that?
Okay.
I have like the same. Beyond that, like I have no, like my husband and I are really happily married. We have four kids. They're relatively, I mean, you know, they're kids, but they're doing relatively well. They're getting older. So we only have three in the house. But weight and talking about food and whatever is like, it's on my head all the time. And the thing I attribute it to is my mom. Like I'm the same way that she was, like, or still is.
Yeah.
She talks about weight and it's always a burden, and she can't enjoy food. And I find myself making these same subtle comments to my kids. And I'm like, I don't want my kids to have issues. Like, I don't want this to be passed on to them. And
yes.
And I don't
know
how to
nailed
keep my
it.
Head.
Let me just stop you, because
I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to help you with that in a second. But the important thing is I think you nailed it, because that is a very powerful connection, is the one, especially the connection between a mother and a daughter. And it usually, whatever the issues are that you picked up on, how to be a mother and how your mother is, they get triggered when you have kids. And you mentioned when you had kids, that was a big one for you. You gained weight when you had kids, which is very common.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons for that also is because you became your mother, in a sense. So, you know, like you only have the role model for being a mother is your mother. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So how do I be a mother? Well, that's how this is my role model, how to be a mother. So you learned how to be a mother from your mother, and you became a mother, and you started becoming like your mother. And one of the things that your mother does is become obsessed and gain weight. So this is where I would focus, is in healing the connection, the lineage connection, because she learned it from her parents too. It just gets passed down. You know, lineage stuff gets passed down from generation to generation. It even gets passed down through our DNA. If your grandparents, for example, went through a famine, you're more likely to be overweight. That's been established genetically. It gets passed through our lineage. It gets passed through our genetics. So there's a couple of ways where you can use visualization in a very targeted way to heal this. And I'll mention two of them. One of them is a visualization I created called Genetically Thin. I don't know if it's in the New You and the New Year's members area. If it's not, we can get it put in there. Amir, maybe you can check and just let me know. But if it's not there, we'll put it in there. It's called Genetically Thin. In the Genetically Thin visualization, you actually use your mind and visualization to change the energetic patterns of your DNA. Your DNA very much functions on energy, on frequencies. And you can, your mind is powerful enough to alter frequencies in your body. And you can change your genetic patterns. So listen to the Genetically Thin visualization. And while you're listening to the Genetically Thin visualization, I'd like you to be conscious that you're changing the genetics, the lineage genetics that you inherited from your mother. It's the pattern. It's like you're using your mind to energetically interrupt that pattern and change that pattern. And so you imagine yourself changing it on a genetic level, and then you imagine all the weight melting off of you.
Okay.
The other one is – the other visualization that I would listen to is called the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization. And while you're listening to that visualization, you can imagine that in the visualization, you imagine – a healing column of light coming in, a protective column of light, and a guardian angel protecting you. You can imagine all that energy around you, and then have a conversation with your mom in your mind. This is a very powerful thing you can do. Have a conversation with your mom. You say, you know, Mom, I love you, I respect you, thank you for everything, but I don't want to be like you in this regard. I'm changing this. I'm letting this go. I want you to know that. I'm asking your permission, not that you need her permission, but I'm just and then have her, and then in the visualization, she gives you her blessing. She's, it's okay for you to be, you're free to be who you are. And you imagine that the guardian angel is wrapping her wings around you, like putting all this energy in you and changing you and freeing you up from this pattern, healing, you know, breaking this pattern, breaking this contract or this bond. You know, Mom, this is a contract that maybe you and I have, with your blessing, I'm breaking this contract. This is not something I want to inherit from you, but thank you for all the other things. You know, have it be a real loving experience, and that can be super powerful for you and super effective.
Okay, awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
I try those, and we can talk next week. Let me know. Let me know if you see any, feel any
Sounds
difference.
Good.
What will typically happen, one of two things will happen if it's a powerful experience. One is that you'll feel this shift, and you'll just be different. You're not going to be as hungry. You're going to forget to eat lunch. You're going to have more energy, and you're not going to be thinking about food as much. That's one thing that can happen. The other thing that can happen if it's a powerful situation is that you go through this period where you're tired all the time and you're craving food all the time, and you know, like, the issue gets triggered. But that should only last for a couple of days, 5 days max, and then you get to this place where you feel like you're shot out of a cannon. It's almost like if you look at the gutters on a roof that haven't been cleaned for 20 years, and you stick your hand in and try to clean it, it's going to smell. There's gunk, you know? And then finally it cleans out and it's clear. So you might have this experience, where it all feels bad, and you think it all went bad, all went wrong. Just hang out for that and give yourself five days, and then you'll feel a massive turnaround.
Okay, awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care.
Thanks.
Cool. Also, Amir said he posted the visualization link on the chat roll. Thank you, Amir. So the genetically thin visualization is in the chat roll right now. Cool. Awesome. Let's talk to Rosie in Brisbane, please.
Hi.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, so first, I just wanted to say I'm good, thank you. And yeah, I'm really enjoying the program so far.
Awesome, thanks. Cool.
Okay. And so my question was, I find like I can be going along quite well, and then if I get stressed, I just get this immediate urge to eat, and not healthy things, like, you know, I want chocolate, cakes, pasta, stuff like that, and it's just like an immediate thing. And I find that hard to, just stop, I guess.
So that will change over time by listening to the visualizations, because the visualizations not only reduce stress for the 10 minutes that you're listening to them, they also rewire your brain chemistry so that you're not as stressed during the day. What they do is they start to, all types of meditation does this, is they start to inhibit signals to and from the amygdala, which is the seat of stress and fear and aggression, and activate areas in your brain that makes you feel a sense of being supported, and a feeling that the universe is supporting you, and just all kinds of kind of good feelings that we're not used to having. But what happens is throughout the day, you're not going to feel stress. It's not going to happen immediately, but you're not going to feel as much stress. It would be great if in the afternoons, and we talk about this in week three, if you could also in the early afternoons take 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, and listen to a visualization then too. Just, you know, sitting in a chair, sitting in a park, a bench, whatever. Because usually in the afternoons, our blood sugar gets low and we start to run out of patience, and we start to get stressed. And so you can kind of circumvent that by just having a 5 or 10 minute visualization in the afternoon, just sitting, listening to the visualization. So I strongly recommend that you do that. And this issue will go away over time. Now, also what I would recommend is that you find some really healthy alternatives to the types of foods, your go-to foods that you go to when you're stressed out, and you carry them around with you. You have them with you. For example, like if you like chocolate, go for raw chocolates. If you go to health food stores, get raw chocolate, get raw snacks. Kale chips, whatever. If you're looking for savory, there's raw crackers and kale chips. But just if there's a smoothie you like, maybe you can carry it around, have it close to you or in the fridge near you. But have access to foods that will satisfy that urge. And then afterwards, if you still want to eat the really bad foods, fine. But you may find that if you just have that as a go-to right away, then you won't need those bad foods. And the combination of having the healthier types of snacks and also listening to the visualizations and having less stress will, within a short period of time, make the issue go away.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. It is usually in the afternoons that it's worse. So, yeah, that's really a good thing to listen to, another visualization?
Yes. So we talk about
thanks.
We talk about in week three. I just mentioned that it's something called a stress reduction break. So stress reduction break is if you find a time when you're typically your energy's low. Like if you find a pattern that's usually, let's say it's 3:30 in the afternoon or whatever the time is for you. But let's say it's 3:30. You've noticed it's usually 3:30 that this happens to you. You're stressed out and you need to go for the junk food. If that's the case, then not at 3:30, but at 3 o'clock, so a half an hour before you typically get that low blood sugar, stressed out experience, a half an hour before, so you're being proactive. So you're not stressed out. You're not hungry now. but at that time, that's the time to listen to have a stress reduction break, which can include sitting on a park bench and listening to a visualization, walking on the grass barefoot, and having a healthy snack. So something doing a little a mild stretch or just lying on the grass, you know, in the sun, just any of those components where you're relaxing, visualizing, getting into a meditative state, and having a healthy snack. It's really important to have a healthy snack. What you'll notice is if you do that at 3 o'clock, the 3:30 low blood sugar stressed out situation won't happen.
Yeah, that's
that
really
sense?
A good idea. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
go ahead and try that. We'll talk more about that in week three, but go ahead and try that now for you. It'd be perfect.
Okay, great. Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Cool. All right, awesome. Cool. Let's bring Nadia back in. We got lots of people, I think, in the chat room asking questions. And then if you do want to talk to me, once again, you got to press 1. If you press 1, it's like a little hand goes up, and then Tiffany will bring you in and then send me a message. But let's bring Nadia in if we can.
John.
Hey, Nadia.
Hi. Yeah, there's lots of questions. Pinky, who is in the chat role right now, is wondering about exercise, and she wants to know what type of workout and how much time to work out is needed for a person who needs to lose 20 kilograms.
Yeah. So, again, that's another situation where everybody's different, and we talk a lot about that in week 4, but as an ideal kind of one-size-fits-all, if you can exercise for 10 to 20 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week, that's good. If you can do it in the morning before you eat, that's also good, but it's not essential. It's better just to do it at the same time every day, whatever works for you. If you can do something you like or love, that's even better. But otherwise, a typical ideal workout might be something like 5 or 10 minutes where you're either walking, running, on an elliptical or biking or on a stationary bike, any type of thing where you're circulating your blood for 5 or 10 minutes. So let's take a stationary bike, for example. So you're just spinning circulating your blood for, say, five minutes. And then maybe over the next 5 minutes, 2 or 3 times, you sprint for 10 seconds or 20 seconds. No more than that. Just as fast as you can sprint for 10 or 20 seconds. A couple of times. It doesn't matter how much rest is in between. You don't have to push yourself real hard. You just do it for that short period, that short burst. That short burst kind of communicates to your body that you need to be real fast for survival reasons. And it activates what I call the get thin or get eaten adaptation. And while you're doing that short burst, that 10 or 20 second burst, while you're doing that, you want to visualize your ideal body or visualize that you're running away from a predator, if that's not too scary for you, or visualize that you're chasing something and trying to get it. Anything primal like that communicates to the primal brain that you need to be thin like if we were living outdoors and there were tigers out there and every once in a couple of times a week they chased you, you know, you'd run for 20 seconds. You know, you're not going to do a 40-minute cardio walk if a tiger jumps out of nowhere and starts chasing you. You're gonna run for 10 or 20 seconds real, real fast. And if you visualize doing that, your brain thinks it's actually happening. But you can just visualize. If that's too scary, which it is for many people, and that's totally fine, just visualize your ideal body. That's what I do. I just visualize my ideal body while I'm doing that sprint. So you want to do that sprint, and that could be if you're walking, running, elliptical, biking, swimming, whatever the thing is, it's a 10 or 20 second all-out sprint, and then take as much rest time as you need in between. It doesn't have to be 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, or 1 minute on, 1 minute, none of that stuff. Just take as much time as needed, and then do it again So all that is 5 minute warm up, and then you have those three or so sprints over another 5 minute period. That's 10 minutes, and then if you could do 5 to 10 minutes of some sort of upper body strength training, and it could be real simple. You just do one set, maybe two set of each of the major body parts. It could be, you know, push-ups on your knees. It could be with weights. Whatever you could ask a trainer to just teach you how to do just basic weight training if you want to do that at a gym for just, again, not a whole 45-minute thing. You just want to feel that pump in your muscles. You want to push your muscles for one or two sets and feel that pump. And that's real important, too, because if you don't do that, what happens as we get older is our muscles atrophy. And that means they're getting smaller and smaller. And muscles that atrophy are insulin resistant. And insulin resistance is what causes you to gain weight. So when you do this strength training, what happens is you drain all the muscles of the stored sugar called glycogen, and then your muscles want more sugar. And because they want more sugar, they're not insulin resistant anymore. They're insulin sensitive. And so it reverses this insulin resistance, and then it makes it much easier to lose weight. So in a nutshell, that's an ideal type of workout. You want to do it 3 to 4 times a week. It'd be good to do some stretching and just some walking to be active, and that's kind of a perfect thing, I'd say. And we'll talk more about that in week 4. Okay,
great. And then Julie was just wanted you to reconfirm. Did you say 10 minutes for blood circulation and 5 minutes with a couple of 10 to 20 seconds of sprints? She's just wondering if that's what you said.
No, I said actually 5 minutes of warm-up. So the whole thing, the whole cardio aerobic part of it is 10 minutes in total. So it's 5 minutes to warm up.
Right.
And then over the next 5 minute period, you want to do those three sprints.
Perfect. Thank you, John.
Awesome. Okay.
So I think there are other questions, and there's also some callers. I believe Pinky's question I just asked is one of the people waiting to speak with you now.
Oh, okay. I'm not seeing that in my message. There's a Linda. Linda from Maine. We'll take her. And then if Pinky,
okay.
And then Tiffany, if Pinky's on hold, just send me the message and I'll bring her through. Let's talk to Linda from Maine, please.
Hi, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
My question is regarding the different oils that we can use to cook.
Yes.
And also something regarding fish oil. Can we use the fish oil caps for one of our meals as our omega-3s?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to have omega-3s at every meal if you can't get them. It's a guide. I just want you to have more omega-3s however you can get them, whenever you can get them.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be. It could be all at once. It doesn't have to be at each meal. I know I put that just kind of as a guideline, but I just want you to have more omega-3s. I sometimes have I might have 10 omega, fish oil capsules in the morning at breakfast, and that's the only omega-3s I'm getting, but I feel good with that.
Okay. All right. Second thing is the oils that are good to cook with because of the smoking points. Is olive oil, coconut
olive
oil?
Olive oil is an in-between one. Olive oil is kind of in between. You can't really – can't tolerate real, real high heats, but it's not bad. It's like an in-between smoke point. Coconut oil has a higher smoke point. In general, the stable saturated fats, healthy stable saturated fats have higher smoke points in general. And that includes coconut oil. Go ahead.
Well, I was reading a recipe that had rice bran oil.
Yeah.
And I did find that, but it wasn't cold pressed. So it seems like rice bran oil is a great one. But what is the
cold pressed
part? Yeah.
It needs to be cold pressed. And I know, and I know we've put a lot of recipes with rice bran oil. But I feel like I would have to say the stable saturated fats are better. Coconut oil, ghee is really, really great. And then organic butter is really good. I think avocado oil has a good smoke point, too.
Okay. All right. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
All right. One other question.
Awesome. Sure.
Is it okay? Because if we're worrying about cholesterol, I've read that oatmeal in the morning is really helpful for lowering cholesterol. And do we care about cholesterol, or we just care about triglyceride levels?
Yeah, no, we do not care about cholesterol. We do care about triglycerides, and I do not agree with that recommendation. Oatmeal has fiber, but if you're eating more live food, you're going to get lots and lots of fiber. What oatmeal also has is it has lots of sugar in the form of starch that gets broken down as sugar that elevates your insulin levels.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that elevates your insulin levels will cause you to gain weight, because insulin is – you know, if you took an injection of insulin, your body's going to gain weight. That's the mechanism of gaining weight. It's not simply calories in, calories out. There's a mechanism that has to take place, and that's
mm-hmm.
insulin. Now, if you love oatmeal and you can't live without oatmeal, that's one thing. Eat your oatmeal. But if you're eating oatmeal because you think it's good for you and it's going to help you, that's a mistake. It's not going to help with weight. It's definitely not. It's definitely, especially any type of starches in the morning are not going to help you, because the only time when you have – typically when you have weight issues, and this is an important point that people miss. And I think the people that are starting to figure this out are like the intermittent fasting / ketogenic type people. They're starting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have trouble – when you have weight issues, it means that you have trouble burning fat because your insulin levels are too high. And the only time you're going to be burning fat is after a whole night where your insulin levels have gotten lower and lower. And so there's like a 2 or 3 hour window before you eat where you're burning a lot of fat. If you have starches first thing in the morning, that all that gets goes out the window. So again, if you're really hungry in the morning and you're hungry for starches in the morning, that's one thing. But if you're not, wait till later to eat and then eat more of the foods that we're recommending, the live foods and the proteins and the omega-3s.
So if you were to make a smoothie at that time after, you know, let's say you go exercise and come back, should you stay away from the tropical fruits? I know you should have a lot of greens in there, but should you stay away from bananas and mangoes and that kind of thing? Because sugar.
If you've just worked out, it'd be a good idea to stay away from it for an hour or two, because your body's burning fat. It's flushing fat at that time. But it's not, it's not the end of the world if you do. If it's going to make or break, again, you want a lifestyle, you want something that's going to work. You don't want to just be on a diet all the time. So if it's going to make or break your smoothie, then have the tropical fruit for sure. But if not, and of all those tropical fruit, if you were going to choose, I would choose the pineapple and the mango over the banana.
Okay.
Because they have more of the healthy digestive enzymes, and they also have some other fat burning things in them that bananas don't have.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Awesome. My pleasure. Take care.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's talk to Pinky if we can. Pinky, you there? Hello?
Hello,
Pinky.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me?
Hi. I can hear you, yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay, sorry. So I've always been overweight since I got my period, since 9 years old. And it's always been a pattern of going up and going down. I even managed to lose 30 kilos when I was 20 years old. But then I keep having cravings for sweet food and fatty food all the time.
Yeah.
And I have those food and I feel very secure. And that's the pattern which keeps happening with me.
Well, you mentioned go ahead.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Pinky?
Yeah, I've also got a borderline sugar, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned something really interesting, Pinky. You said it makes you feel secure.
Yeah,
Did I feel secure
after having fat food.
Yeah. All right, and I want to ask you about when you were 9 years old, if I can. Do you know, or was there any type of issues that happened, any stressful or traumatic or emotional?
Yes, I did fail in my grade 3. I had to repeat the class.
You say that again? Oh, you had to repeat grade 3.
I had to repeat grade 3.
And that was a traumatic experience for you?
Oh. It was, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since then, I went up to 90 kgs.
Since then what? Say that again, please.
And I went up to 90 kg since then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so there's an issue of security, of feeling safe. That's a big issue for you.
Yes, I don't feel safe. Yes.
I would like you to be listening to the safe, strong, and protected visualization.
I do listen. I've been listening from the last 1 year. It has helped me a bit, but then when I stop it, again it happens like that.
Well, there you go. So keep listening to that one, and then also, when you say sugary and fatty foods, you know, there are two types of fatty foods. There are fatty foods that are made with vegetable oils, and there are fatty foods that are made with things like coconut and healthy animal fats. Those type of fatty foods. All right, you're a vegan. That's fine. But however, I want to caution you when you are eating fatty foods to go to the coconut, the foods that are made with things like coconut oil or chia seed oil or flaxseed oil, or olive oil, hemp seed oils. I want you to go for healthy oils, not vegetable oils. It'll make a huge difference. And I want you to eat more fatty foods because they'll make you feel satisfied. But they're also going to, those foods will help you lose weight, whereas the vegetable oils will cause you to gain weight.
Yes, I got that.
You may also want to practice some sort of tapping, what's called emotional freedom technique or meridian tapping, to work through some of the issues that you're experiencing, or maybe even have a cellular release session to work through some of the issues from your childhood. I think this would be really important for you.
Yeah, I've done that just 2 months ago. I went to a counselor. She helped me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I just want to say about that is that there's different types of therapy. Some are more effective than others. And the ones that I've found to be very, very effective for weight loss and for working through the issues regarding weight loss are meridian tapping. And we have a documentary film we created called Tapping for Weight Loss. We might be able to get you access to that. Yeah, please do.
Okay.
And practice along and work on those issues and see if you can do that. And then we can talk about it next week, see if you feel any different.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay, cool. We just have a couple of minutes left. Let's just bring Nadia back in if we can.
Hey, John.
Hey, Nadia.
Hey. So just a couple follow-up questions from the conversations you were having with the callers. Sandy is wondering, why avoid a tropical fruit smoothie after working out? Is a veggie drink better?
Yeah, veggie drink's better because after you work out, your body's going to be burning fat at an accelerated rate. The second you put anything in there that is going to elevate your insulin levels, you're going to stop that process. Insulin just stops the process of burning fat. So it's good to go a couple of hours and let your body burn fat. And a veggie juice will be much, much better in that regard because it's not going to elevate your insulin levels. Unless it's a veggie juice that has things like carrots and beets in it, then it will. It's just a minor point to just try to get the biggest bang for the buck. If you're going to do the work, you might as well, get some results from it or get the best results from it. And that's just a kind of a minor tweak. And then after 2 hours, then have the tropical fruits and have that tropical fruit smoothie. That will make it'll make a difference. It'll make
it
easier
Wonderful.
For your body to let go of weight. Yeah.
Great. Any of those little tips are really helpful. Sandy is wondering, when you
– Also,
go ahead.
Let me just make one other point, though. But I don't want to turn it into a diet in a restrictive sense where there's all these rules about what you can and can't have and when you can and can't have it. I just want to give you the information so that you can make an informed decision, such as oatmeal, for example. You know, if you're eating oatmeal because you think it's good for you every morning, and it's really not when it comes to weight loss, it's just information. I'm not saying don't eat oatmeal if, like, that's oatmeal is your thing and you have to have it and you're starving for it. That's fine. And it's the same with the tropical fruits or any of the other suggestions. It's information that you can use to make an informed decision.
Great.
Cool.
Speaking of oatmeal, yeah. When you were talking about oatmeal with that caller, Sandy was wondering, she typed in, are there any starches that are okay?
Yeah, so there are some starches that are called resistant starches, and they actually work better with your body. Resistant starches means that they don't get digested the same way as most starches, where it goes into your bloodstream and elevates your insulin levels. Resistant starches go through your intestines and actually just feed your intestines as a form of prebiotic. So it doesn't have the same, theoretically, I don't know this 100%, but that's the theory, is that it doesn't have the same insulin response in your body. And that includes things like cassava or tapioca. If you see that in sometimes in, like, if you look at some kind of like paleo chips or crackers or bread, they often put tapioca starch or cassava. This is or green banana flour, and those are all examples of resistant starches. Also, sweet potatoes are more of a resistant starch. And then there's a certain way that you can cook rice and chill it. I'm not sure exactly how, but where you use coconut oil and then you chill it in a certain way. You could look it up on the internet, how to turn rice into a resistant starch. There's a certain way to make rice more of a resistant starch. So those are smart things to do, because then it just becomes a way of feeding your bacteria, your friendly bacteria, as opposed to elevating your insulin levels. And again, that's a theory. I don't know 100% that it's true, but that's the theory. And those are the better starches for that reason.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. We have one last question from Carla.
Great.
She says, okay, it's about intermittent fasting. And she says, if I stop eating around 5 p.m. and then have breakfast around 9 a.m., is this also considered intermittent fasting?
Intermittent fasting is typically if you go 16 to 18 hours without eating. So in your situation, that's 15 hours. Is that right? Am I doing the math right? 24.
Yep, 5 is 12.
Yeah, 15 hours.
4 would be 16.
It's 15. It's 15 hours. So that's pretty close. You know, the hardcore intermittent fasting people will talk about going 16 to 18 hours. So they might have their first meal at 11 as opposed to 9. Or 12 even. But then they're having, you have super greens and spirulinas and things like that. And here's a perfect example of what I was just talking about before. And a good place to end is with intermittent fasting. If you turn intermittent fasting into a rule, and it doesn't fit with who you are and what your body wants, and you don't eat till 12, for example, and you're hungry all morning, that's something that's not sustainable and it's not going to work for you. What does work, though, is something called what I call organic intermittent fasting. And organic intermittent fasting is when you're on the days and only on the days when you're not hungry in the morning, when you're legitimately not hungry in the morning, then don't eat. And that's kind of contrary to maybe to nutritional information from 10, 15 years ago that said you got to eat a great breakfast, you got to eat great breakfast. And in fact, you know, when we first wrote the Gabriel Method, that was – we were saying, you know, you have to eat a great breakfast. And now it turns out, not necessarily. It's actually better not to eat a breakfast if you're not hungry. If you go longer periods of time without eating, it helps your body regain the ability to burn fat as fuel. And that's really what you want to do, is you want to educate your body on how to burn fat for fuel. And then when your body is burning fat for fuel, you are less hungry. But there's a dance that happens. It's a process. If you make it a hard and fast rule, it's not going to be sustainable, just like any other diet. But on the days when you're legitimately not hungry, great. Then have some veggie broth, have some veggie juice, have some super greens, just have some water or some herbal teas, and eat later in the day. So for me right now, it's 2 o'clock, and I have not eaten yet. Not because I'm on a diet, not because I am, I'm on a program and I'm fighting, you know, to get to 2:30 or something like that. No, I've been working this morning and I've not been hungry, and my body's burning fat for fuel. It's burning my fat reserves for fuel, which is what you want. And so I'm just not hungry. But other days I might be hungry at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to eat. So organic intermittent fasting is on those days when your body's burning fat, your body wants to let go of weight, you're not going to be as hungry in the mornings. And if that's the case, then run with it on those days at those times, because it will benefit you tremendously. But don't make it a hard and fast rule. None of the things that we talked about, I would urge you not to make any of them a hard and fast rule. Just use them as education and watch your body and say, hey, I'm recognizing a pattern right now. My body is less hungry. I have more energy. I'm not hungry in the morning. My body's burning fat. That's the only way in the world that you're not going to be hungry is if your body's burning fat for fuel, which is a process that we all lose, which is why we get weight issues. So you're regaining that. And if you notice that, you go, okay, I'll go with that. I'll drink some water. I'll feel my way through it. And when I'm hungry, I'll try to eat something healthy first. I won't wait till I'm so long till, you know, I'm not going to push myself. I'm going to eat when I'm hungry. So my blood sugar doesn't get too low. I'm going to eat something healthy first. If I want something unhealthy afterwards, that's fine. But I'm going to nourish my body first and then see where I'm at. You just take that approach where you're feeling your way through it. You're conscious of what's going on. You're conscious that you're regaining. You're helping your body regain the ability to burn fat. You're helping your body want to be thinner. You don't have any hard and fast rules about it. It's just going to be much, much more sustainable. The minute you have a hard and fast rule, no, I'm not going to have any tropical fruit in my smoothies. No, I'm not going to eat at 9 o'clock. The minute you do that, it all goes.
John, are you there?
Then yeah. Hello?
Hi, I can hear you now.
Nadia? Oh, how long was I out for?
Only a second.
Oh, okay.
The last thing I heard you say is if you make it a hard and fast rule, then you cut out.
Yeah, the minute you make it a hard and fast rule, everything goes wonky. You know, if you make it a hard and fast rule that you can't eat at 9 o'clock, you're going to want to eat at 9 o'clock. If you make it a hard and fast rule that you can't have tropical fruit in your smoothie, you're going to want tropical fruit in your smoothie. So don't do that to yourself. Don't make anything a hard and fast rule. Just get the information, add the nutrients, listen to the visualizations, address the stresses in your life, and really, and heal your digestion, and add. Just like, Nicola said in her post that she lost 95 pounds. Listen to John when he says add nutrients that have friendly bacteria, that have digestive enzymes, that are live, that have omega-3s, that have healthy proteins, that have healthy fats. Add. Add real live foods. As if you were living on an island 10,000 years ago, real foods, before we started inventing them for profit and manipulating our taste buds. Back to Mother Nature. Eat real foods. Listen to visualizations. Live in the present moment, and you watch as your body changes on its own. Watch as your body wants to let go of the weight, and all the magic happens. Cool. It's going to be Monday night in the U.S., Tuesday morning Australia, New Zealand. And we're going to be talking more and more about digestion, which, as we talked about in this class, is super important. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Reach out to us here if you have any questions in the Facebook group or in the members area, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care. Thanks. Thanks for joining me on this Ask John call-in day. For any questions I was unable to get to in this call, I'll post my written responses in the forum for your reference. I appreciate you taking time to join me here, and I look forward to connecting again with you soon.